Blog Talk Radio.
The Anthony Johnson Show starts now. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this special edition, this special 3 p.m. edition of The Anthony Johnson Show. I'm Anthony Johnson, as always. I've never had a substitute. No. I've never had anyone substitute for the Anthony Johnson Show. I get, you know, that's like perfect attendance. But I hope everyone is having a great day, had a great week, and having a good weekend. If I didn't do it in the past, Happy New Year to everyone. We were not on last week. So I guess everybody, you know, it's all over social media, it's all over. So Donald Trump was sworn in, inauguration. He is our 45th president of the United States, and that's what it is. Now what you do is you strap in and watch what happens. I think people still are walking around, you know, stunned that he did the unthinkable. He won. I just think at this point now you just got to move on with it. It's he was sworn in. He beat Hillary Clinton, Secretary Clinton, and that's pretty much it. I know a lot of people were upset because they talked about the popular vote, and now we need to do something about the Electoral College. I've been talking about the Electoral College almost since I was like in grade school, maybe like sixth, seventh grade. Like, you know, this Electoral College thing is really not very good. And eventually, and then by the time I got to high school, I was like, you know, at some point in time, this Electoral College is going to come and hurt somebody, in particular America. And, you know, it took some time, but it finally did. You know, the interesting thing about that is that Hillary Clinton received well over 3 million votes, popular vote, the highest number of any presidential candidate. You got to keep in mind, too, Al Gore won the popular vote against George Bush and lost, which I, you know, when that happened, you know, I was very vocal about it. Like, okay, this is not very good. It's coming. I'm like, I've been saying this since I was like seventh grade. This Electoral College is going to hurt America at some point. And I thought we would have learned with Bush, but clearly we didn't. My concern, though, was, you know, what if had it been the other way around? What had Donald Trump won the popular vote and lost? What supporters of Hillary Clinton be complaining and telling those supporters to be quiet and shut up? The system works. You know, I think what Donald Trump did, and anybody that has listened to this show have heard me say this on more occasions than I care to remember, is that Donald Trump had his finger on the pulse of this country for a very long time. He understood the climate. He understood the hypocrisy in this country. And he tapped into it. Donald Trump built himself up as an outsider. I'm an outsider. That just makes it, because he's not an elected official. And people say, oh, well, yeah, he is an outsider. He's a multi-billionaire. He buys politicians like you and I go to the store and buy groceries. So he's not an outsider. But he convinced a large section of this country that he was. For the first time, and I can tell you, I know absolutely nothing about what happened at the inauguration. I didn't watch it. For the first time since I was a kid, I did not watch or read anything about the presidential inauguration. And I'm okay with that, ladies and gentlemen. I know, because for me, Anthony Johnson, I said, and I will not support the president in any capacity. And, you know, people are saying, why? You know, we need to turn the page. Well, I remember not so long ago when Barack Obama was elected president, and a large segment of America and Republican politicians refused to acknowledge him as the commander-in-chief. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Of course you remember that. Excuse me. Of course you remember. They would not acknowledge him as commander-in-chief. Even when he was reelected, those same people said, he's not my president. He doesn't represent me. He's from Kenya. Now those same people who elected Trump are saying, hey, we need to unite and support Trump. And what makes me laugh is that a lot of people saying, well, I didn't vote for Trump. I voted for Hillary Clinton. But I believe we need to unite. But those same people, again, were not calling those individuals out when President Obama first came into office and when he was reelected. Donald Trump had his finger on the pulse of this country, this country's hypocrisy. He knew how to play it. If you talk to everybody that dislikes Donald Trump, one of the first things come out of their mouths is con man, snake oil salesman. And that's what he is. But he's mastered the technique to get people to do things against their interests. That's when you know you are powerful. Now, we sit and call this guy a simpleton, a buffoon, and things like that, and I believe this presidency is going to show all those things. But at the same time, he's also proved that he can get people to vote and support things that they need. So when you talk about, for example, the Affordable Care Act, many of the Trump supporters say, well, yeah, I'm glad he's getting rid of Obamacare. Damn it. Not knowing that, you do know that Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act are the same thing. Then it's like, oh, they are? Yeah, fifth grader could explain that to you, could have taken an opportunity to explain that to you. Yeah, they're the same thing. They voted against their interests. That's a powerful tool to be able to get people to do that and to get them to do it consistently. And it's not one of those times where you've been duped into doing something that's going to actually hurt you. You know, that one time you say, oh, man, you got me. This time. That won't happen again. They do it repeatedly. Nation had 8 years. When you talk about uniting, we need to unite. Let's get behind this man. This country had 8 years to unite when President Obama asked for it repeatedly. And many Americans wanted no part in the unification. Now those same people want us to unify for Trump. Donald Trump, a presidential candidate who ran and was elected on a platform built on the foundation of racism, bigotry, homophobia, xenophobia, misogyny, and fear. That's how he won. So people keep saying, why give Donald Trump, why you need to give him a chance. Why should we give Donald Trump a chance now that he's the president? Have you seen his cabinet choices? Forget about the Jeff Sessions and the doctor who doesn't. It's amazing this guy, this phenomenal doctor, when he's not in the operating room. I mean, he's as clueless as a bag of chips. But another Donald Trump's choices. Betsy DeVos, she's a multi-billionaire, her and her husband, who believe in private schools and charter schools, hates public schools, hates it, and her to be Secretary of Education. The woman can barely spell Secretary of Education, no experience whatsoever, but she gave a couple of hundred grand to Donald Trump's a candidacy. She's paid, her and her husband have bought off a Republican politicians to the tune of over $200 million. She has no concept of how and what the responsibilities of a Secretary of Education does, even after having it explained to her. What is going on with America? Is this it? Is this one of the reasons why you voted for Trump, so that he can place woefully unqualified individuals in the most powerful positions in American government? See, to you, the American people, stop talking about how much you love America, because you don't love America. As a matter of fact, you not only not love America, you hate this nation. Because if you loved America, if you loved this nation, then you would be embarrassed and outraged of the people your president is asking to lead America back to the 20th century. I told you, President Obama got us towards the end of the 20th century. We're still stuck in the 20th century. Our infrastructure, our way of thinking is still the 20th century, but it's, you know, closer to the end. And he took it as far as he could take it. The goal was to bring in a president to keep moving the country forward. You guys elected a president who's going to roll back. But then I forgot who I'm talking to, because a lot of these people that went out and voted for Trump are the same people who believe, like I said earlier, that Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act are two separate pieces of legislation. Again, why give Donald Trump a chance? Well, because he cannot lead. Just as Mr. Trump underestimates the fragility of the global economic system, so too does his misread of geopolitics. Even before taking office, Mr. Trump has hacked away at the decades-old, largely bipartisan cloth of American foreign policy. He has casually disparaged the value of the European Union, which his predecessors always nurtured as a source of stability. He has compared Angela Merkel, Germany's chancellor and America's closest ally, unfavorably to Vladimir Putin, his homie. He savaged Mexico, whose prosperity and goodwill matter greatly to America's southern states, and most recklessly, he has begun to pull apart America's carefully stitched dealings with the rising superpower of China, imperiling in the most important bilateral relationship of all. So this idea of the idea running through Mr. Trump's diplomacy is that that relations between states follow the art of the deal. President Trump acts as if he can get what he wants from sovereign states by picking fights that he is then willing to settle at a price. His mistake is to think that countries are like businesses. That's what he thinks these countries are. They're businesses. In fact, America cannot walk away from China in search of another superpower to deal with over the South China Sea. And doubts that have been sown cannot be uprooted, as if the game all had to been a harmless exercise in price discovery. Alliances that take decades to build can be weakened in a month. Dealings between sovereign states tend towards anarchy, because ultimately there is no global government to impose order and no means of coercion but war. For as long as President Trump is unraveling the order that America created and from which it gained so much, he is getting America a terrible deal. A 10th grade political science student could explain to Donald Trump, granted, you want to focus more energy on the infrastructure of America. That's a wonderful idea. It's a wonderful concept. We can make that happen. But what you cannot do, President Trump, is piss on your allies and piss on a very loose relationship, allyship with a country like China, who we owe hundreds of billions of dollars. There is an art to this. You can work outside of America and get deals done and make things happen while focusing your attention, a great portion of your attention, on building America up. But you can't go into the isolationism. That will never happen again. things about Donald Trump, why I, for one, cannot get behind Donald Trump, is Donald Trump admires tyrants. Trump openly admires Russia, Putin, calling him a strong leader. Putin is, of course, a dictator who shut down independent media, imprisoned political opponents, rigged elections, and almost certainly ordered the murders of opposition figures. That's a tyrant. Donald Trump encourages violence. Remember when the protester interrupted a Trump rally? As security escorted him out, Trump told his supporters, you know, quote, you know, what they had, what they used to do, guys like him, in a place like this, he'd go out in a stretcher, end quote. He added, quote, I'd like to punch him in the face. Again, this is part of the pattern. Donald Trump incites violence. He brings out the worst in people. The CNN interview, when he spoke with the reporters, and the CNN reporter was asking him a question, that he could have easily just said, you know what, I can't answer that right now. I'll get back to you on that and move on instead. He goats the guy, tells him that your network is fake. So even when people go to events where Trump, President Trump is speaking and the media is there minding their business, you know, easily say something negative about the media, about somebody in the media there, and those individuals, he puts those individuals in harm's way. Donald Trump wants to police speech. For a man who talks about freedom of speech and freedom of this and freedom of that, he's advocating to altering libel laws to enable the government to sue newspapers for purposely negative and horrible and false articles. According to who? According to him. His attitude is, if he believes that they're negative and horrible and false, then there should be a crime. Didn't John Adams get in trouble for that? Isn't that one of the reasons why John Adams actually lost the presidency to Jefferson? One of the very foundations of this country, government-wise. And you're saying no. Trump gave several examples of media outlets he'd like to be able to sue for their coverage of him, including New York Times and Washington Post. This smacks back to the days of Nixon. Nixon had an enemy list. And basically everybody from the media, particularly the Washington Post and New York Times, was on his hit list. Libel is, of course, ladies and gentlemen, an actual crime. But the courts, in deference to the First Amendment, have made it hard to successfully prosecute a libel case and nearly impossible for public figures to do so. Free will and ruckus debate is an essential part of what makes democracy work, but President Trump doesn't seem to understand that. Having to look over your shoulder before criticizing a public figure is exactly the kind of culture of suspicion and fear that America's founders believed to be, well, quote, un-American. Donald Trump does not believe in equality under the law. This is a president who does not believe in this, ladies and gentlemen. After the terrorist attacks in Paris and San Bernardino last November, Trump made a series of proposals he claimed would enhance homeland security. He proposed to ban all Muslims from entering the United States. He called for increased surveillance on mosques in America, American mosques. He called for a database to track all Syrian refugees and did not rule out tracking all Muslims in America. American-born Muslims. Donald Trump, this country just swore in a president who is basically the equivalent of an American fascist. The case against Trump, then, is that he is an autocrat in Democrat's clothing, a tyrant in the wings, a bully who admires the strength of tyrants and butchers, who finds a free press to be an inconvenience that he intends to tame with legal force once elected. And now that he is elected, he's going to go after these things that he's talked about. A man who demonizes opponents and romanticizes violence, especially against minorities. who pines for the day when government could have its way with people without the trouble of constitutional law getting in the way. You don't have to go full Hitler to be a danger of the culture of a free society. Most dictators in history, in fact, have not stooped to Hitlerian levels of barbarism and madness. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, President Donald Trump is a fascist, or at least as close to a fascist as the American political culture is ever going to produce. Donald Trump, President Trump, to you, many of you, is a demagogic figure who does not view himself as part of the constitutional system, but rather its alternative to it. It is startling how few of the contributors to this country are allowing this to take place. And you say we should unite for Trump. It never seems to fail in this country when it comes to racist politicians, bigot politicians, and so forth. And you always have black people in this country that will side with them. It's interesting because black elitists scolded President Obama even before he set foot in the Oval Office. Travis Smiley is a great example of that. Mr. Smiley derided President Obama from day one of his presidency. It would have been much better had Mr. Smiley, Dr. West, and the other black elitists went after the Republican Party the way they went after President Obama. And it's sad, ladies and gentlemen, how black people keep feebly attempting to get you and I to support this new president. Donald Trump, President-elect Donald Trump, met with several black people from the community, the entertainment and sports community. He met with Kanye West and Steve Harvey, Dr. King's son, Ray Lewis, and Jim Brown. Now, these individuals actually believe that by sitting down and talking with Trump, they see that he's a good man. He cares about, you know, and they spoke to him on issues that none of these individuals are policymakers. The curious one out of all the people that I mentioned was Jim Brown. As you know, Jim Brown, the great running back for the Cleveland Browns from 1957 to 1965, who was in the struggle, who was part of the civil rights. He was there, and he was very vocal in his support and things changing. But Jim Brown has since morphed into an individual where he believed that, you know, we as black people need to give Donald Trump an opportunity. When did Donald Trump ever give black people an opportunity? Donald Trump ran on a campaign and won on the platform of bigotry, racism, hate. And black people and people of color was his focal point. Now these black entertainers come out and say, well, I met him and he's a good man and we should rally around him. But this man has done nothing to rally around the black and brown communities. He met with entertainers and athletes instead of meeting with real policymakers, instead of meeting with people, black, white, Asian, Latino, Native American, who are in the urban communities. See, it's okay for you, Steve Harvey, and the rest of you guys who aren't immersed in these communities to say, oh, well, you know, I'm going to go talk to them instead of going and talk to the actual source. Go to the people. Donald Trump should have gone into those black communities and those brown communities and said, this is really bad. We got to start doing something. We got to do better. The federal government is going to come in here and help out. It's unfortunate that these guys, the Steve Harveys, the Kanye West, the Ray Lewis, the Jim Browns, King III, they think that they're getting a seat at this man's table when all they were photo ops. And he didn't have to do anything. Trump used them with little effort. And my, for me, they can support and or talk to Donald Trump whenever they want. That's their prerogative, ladies and gentlemen. But I, for one, don't care. My deep concern, and I will always be forceful about it and making it perfectly clear that these people do not represent the black communities. They never have. They never will. If Donald Trump and his cabinet members and Republicans and Democrats alike want to talk to people who are in the struggle, who are doing their best every day to try to make those communities that we talked about that are crime-infested, drug-infested, poverty-infected, illiterate-infected, then come and talk to the people that's actually doing something. Because Steve Harvey and Jim Brown and Jerry Rice and Ray Lewis and Kanye West, they do not speak for me nor many other black people and brown people in the communities. Not one time did Trump ever reach out to people who are actually trying to address the social dichotomy in the urban communities. You say unite for Trump? I say no. That does it for this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show tonight, ladies, this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you as always for tuning in. We will return next week with a new episode, as always, for your support. Good night.